This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
And this is the Emerald Llama.
There's a monster in my podcast.
This thing is fucking amazing.
I love this. Oh yeah, my God.
I didn't know about that. I've read this book before, but I forgot about this.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, The King in Yellow, obviously huge place in my heart.
Yes.
Talking about that next episode. This, as far as like learning something.
Mm-hmm.
And this just came from a source book.
Yeah. Like there's no story about this. No. I was looking for stories that incorporate this guy and they don't exist.
This is very rad.
Yeah.
And this could have been in like the Sekiro season of Bonfireside Chat, because this is why there are those mummy monks.
Yeah. This lines up with like a perversion of Buddhism, which is how this rolls. So like where The King in Yellow is interesting because of the mystery. Mystery also necessitates that there's going to be, you know, a scarcity of information, right? There's just not enough data. You just have these symbols and these methods that he works by. With the llama, it's a much more earthly, approach. There are more details here, and all of them are hooky and good.
Yes. So there's a lot to get through.
Yes.
In this. So the llama is, pretty standard King in Yellow stuff. Like he wears tattered robes. They're actually part of his body.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of floats around. I love the writing here is really, really good. The cloak folds only to reveal a passably human head and neck. Passably human is very good.
It's very good. He's got a big, old egg head. And he has a yellow gem in his forehead. What I enjoy is that though he appears to be walking around like a person, if you open up the bottom of his robe, you see that he doesn't have legs. It is just three vestigial tentacles that hover 3 feet above the ground at all times.
Yeah, he never touches the ground.
Right. And instead of having at the end of his arms are knuckled tentacles with lamprey mouths at the fingertips, which I've seen that shock image.
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So he floats around, and basically this is like a scary mythos version of like the Dalai Lama.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Like, you know, people go around looking for, you know, he's mortal. He will die.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets reborn though. So people go around, his cultists go around trying to find different kids with the mark.
Mm-hmm.
So he can take over them and turn them into this monster.
Yeah. So
And he's all about the like knowing.
Yes.
Like he's all about he has a tantalizing aura of knowing. So this is basically like punishing, you know, as opposed to a Western mythos thing, which punishes the idea of like scientific curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
This is punishing the search for enlightenment.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's almost like just empty meditation calories. You know, he entrances people because studying him and poking at the answers that he provides as this false guru, right, feels very satisfying. And you just keep on, you're trapped in this loop of thinking about him and worshiping him.
This is so in line with, like, this isn't a Lovecraft creation, but it's so in line with him because it's, you know, the idea. So, like, Lovecraft is very disdainful of, like, Western pursuits of knowledge.
Yes.
Right. And there is a temptation to be like, yeah, that stuff sucks. However, you know, there is this weird, like, there can be a strange fetishization for like Eastern forms of enlightenment.
Oh yeah.
That it is somehow, you know, oh, like this is actually good and true, you know? And that is not something that is in the original philosophy of these works.
Right.
Like all forms of this kind of, you know, every religion. It's not just like a theistic Western religion would be horseshit and we're fooling ourselves. So would Buddhism. So would this idea of like reincarnation stuff. All of the stuff has to be perverted and folded in to something so big and malevolent that you do not understand.
Yeah. These ancient things that thrive on worship and, you know, need to have their works done, they wouldn't just be going after the Western world. They would be looking for a way, you know, into
other forms of religion, other forms of spirituality,
into different cultures, maybe the most populous continent on the fucking planet. They would have their, you know, their tentacles in that too.
Exactly. So this is about that in a way that I'd like vibe with very hard. And that gives me 1,000 like adventure hooks as well. You know, like people, you know, you could do this as a campaign, you know, in that setting, but you could also have it be like, hey, this is this trendy new tourist kind of religion for like tech billionaires or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, this guy's a consultant.
The next phase of mindfulness, right? That's the way that he breaks in.
Like we have beanbag chairs in our office and we have the Emerald Llama.
and he's broken into the West. Like they talk about, you know, how he is generally associated with all of these different societies that fell. But they talk about like, yeah, no, he was, you know, he was an advisor to Hitler's Thule Society.
Yeah.
Know, which is a Delta Green thing. Right.
Yep. Yeah. He basically is around when cultures fall.
Yes.
Like civilizations fall. Like he's involved with that and contributes to it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a bunch of cool little details about him. I love this mandala, the Emerald Mandala, which is simple, but it says it's simple, but complex, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
And this is those empty calories you're talking about. Like you meditate on this and it makes you feel like you're gaining knowledge. Eventually you do, but really it just increases the sway that this thing has over you.
I mean, and it's just another manifestation of the yellow sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah. And I love how he has hooked into this Buddhist religion, the tropes of the Buddhist religion, where there is a nirvana in this, but it's actually pastor's court. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like he has these worshipers in Shambhala, the mythical land. Well, it is the mythical land because it is, you know, simultaneously three places at once: Tibet, the dreamlands, and this unknown planet for, you know, that has been dead for 100,000 years that also abuts against Lang. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and he's got these overlappings of space. I love it.
His robes are, since he exists in this overlap and flip space, he can use his robes to attack and teleport you, very similar to Cloak, mm-hmm. From Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. he can show you visions with his third eye, kind of transfix you, mm-hmm. and drive you insane, showing you the true nature of Nirvana, Azathoth dancing in his court, visions of Shambhala, the dying moments of the Buddha, Mystic Holly, Carcosa, and other horrible alien things. Just, you know, the idea of just like, oh, you see Buddha dying over and over and over from looking into the Emerald Llama's third eye.
Yeah.
It's like fucking sentences.
Mm. And then something that I love, you know, his kill shot is mm-hmm. especially designed for these, you know, cultures that believe in reincarnation, where if he, you know, plants all five of his fingers on your head, he manages to do the embrace of the llama, which doesn't just kill you, it stops your soul from reincarnating forever. It is a complete it is a complete destruction of the soul. So an opposite of nirvana.
Just really phenomenally good. He also really tries to tempt people into reading the Forbidden Sutra, mm-hmm. which has positions like doggy style.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.